And welcome back. The window is open for a second round for folks signing up for health insurance under the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare. The open enrollment period continues until mid-February. It may sound like a lot of time, but with the holiday season revving up, it will be here sooner than most of us think. There is also a mid-December deadline for those who want coverage to begin at the beginning of next year. So what is open enrollment? Who should be signing up? And what does it mean for those already enrolled? And what are the chances the U.S. Supreme Court could derail the law entirely? Who better to put these and other questions to than Professor Sidney Watson of St. Louis University's Health Law Policy Center. She's also an attorney and has been our longtime go-to person on the Affordable Care Act. Sidney, so nice to have you back with us again.
It's nice to be here.
Let's clear up some early confusion, and I may have contributed to that with mentioning of a December 15th deadline. There is a double deadline. Most people don't know what the December 15th one is all about.
Well, as you mentioned, the enrollment runs through February 15th this year, so you have until then to sign up. The earlier you sign up, the earlier you get coverage, though. Mm-hmm. So December 15 is the latest you can sign up and get coverage that starts January 1.
Otherwise, it would start when?
It depends when in the month you sign up. If you sign up before the 15th of the month, then you get coverage the first of the next month. If you don't sign up until the end of the month, then you may have to wait as long as 6 weeks before your coverage starts.
How is the process working? The open enrollment started November 15th. Any indications as to how it's going?
Compared to last year, it is going much smoother. The first day, about 500,000 people logged on, and 100,000 people actually signed up for coverage. Compared to last year, when it took us over a month to get the website working, this year they have redesigned the website. It's easier to use. You can go in. You can window shop. All you have to enter is your zip code, some questions about your age, your income. You can see all the plans, get an idea of what's out there. And then if you want to go back and shop seriously, you can go in and get a password and a personal account.
And from what I've been reading from the various polls that have been taking, it is a popular program, basically a popular program with the American public.
Very popular. Gallup did a poll, and over 70% of people who've signed up for plans on the marketplace described them as excellent or good. Our law students at St. Louis University have been interviewing people who bought plans on the marketplace last year to find out how they were working for them. And we are hearing glowing reviews. We're hearing about people who got very affordable plans. Janet from West Plains went without insurance for years because the best quote she could get was $1,400 a month. She's now paying $98 a month. And has been able to get her colonoscopy. And she reports that she's very happy and very healthy.
There is some sticker shock, though, associated with this year's enrollees. As I understand it, prices have gone up for these policies, have they not?
Well, they've gone up, but they've not gone up the way we saw them going up in the past. Nationally, the plans have gone up a little more than 3%. That's good news, because before the Affordable Care Act, we saw plans going up over 10% a year. So we're seeing some nice moderation in prices. It's also, you can go onto the marketplace and see all the plans. So you don't have to stick with that plan you had last year that may have gone up in price. You may be able to find something much better.
That's something I think it's important to point out, that people who have already enrolled last year, they don't have to stay with that plan. They do have the option of looking for something else.
Absolutely. The good news is, though, if they don't do anything, if you get distracted, life gets complicated, most people who signed up last year will be automatically re-enrolled in the same plan that they bought last year. But for most people, it's really important to go out and do some shopping, do some comparison shopping, because we know there are more choices and probably better choices out there. Last year, we had two insurance companies selling in Missouri. Now we have four. Last year in St. Louis, we had 22, 25 plans on the marketplace. This year, we have over 40.
What does that tell us?
It tells us there's more choice. This also tells us that the marketplace looks like an interesting place for insurance companies to try to attract new business.
That's what I was getting at. And that was the whole object of this exercise, to get the insurance companies involved, because there are 40 million people out there who need insurance.
Absolutely. And the frustration we had heard from people who use the individual market was they couldn't figure out what was available. When they did find a plan, there was a lot of small print and confusion. And that's what the marketplace takes care of. You can see all the plans. You can compare them side by side. You can pick the plan that best meets your needs. Although I have to say, I think for most people, there's something nice about going to the marketplace on the web and shopping in your pajamas. But the even better thing is that there is free help. There are free personal shoppers out there sitting by their phones, sitting by their computers, ready to help people shop for plans and figure out the best plan for them.
These are the navigators that we heard so much about earlier on.
Right.
Any surprises this time that people might find that they're not thinking about, do you think?
Well, I think one thing here in Missouri last year, all the plans offered on the market were what we call PPOs, preferred provider organizations. If you go to a doctor or a hospital that's in your network, you get better coverage, but you can go to any doctor or hospital and the insurance will pay a little bit. This year, we've got about seven plans that are closed networks. So if you choose one of those plans, if you want your insurance company to help you out, you've got to stay in network. So that kind of detail shopping is going to become more and more important.
How complicated is it going to be? I mean, reading any kind of an insurance policy is difficult. How tough is it going to be for the average person to understand what they're getting into?
It's certainly easier than it was. The website will sort the plans for you. It has glossaries and definitions. So it is definitely much easier. But, you know, I would say to anyone, and for me even, I would use a navigator. They are people who have lots of experience looking at these plans. They can help you quickly find out if your doctor is in a particular network, if your prescription drugs are covered by a particular plan. They're the experts. They are all employees of not-for-profit organizations. They're not being paid by a particular insurance company to steer business in a certain direction. They are there as public servants to help us out.
What about such things as the coverage gap that we've been hearing about? What is that, and how does it affect you and me?
Well, that's the Medicaid expansion issue. Over in Illinois, everyone has a choice, new choices of affordable health insurance. Here in Missouri, people who qualify for new discounts on the marketplace have some really affordable plans, but there's a glitch. These discounts for marketplace plans are not available to people who earn under the federal poverty level. That's $11,670 a year for a single person, about $24,000 a year for a family of four. The plan was that there would be a Medicaid expansion available for those people. Here in Missouri, our legislature has not decided to expand Medicaid yet, so that's the gap.
That is the gap.
It's a gap.
Well, maybe this year the legislature will act. Who knows?
We certainly hope to see bills filed, and we certainly see sponsors in both on both the House side and the Senate side.
How about penalties? This is when they kick in, is it, after the first year?
Yes. I think we'll be hearing a lot from people when we get to tax filing season, when they realize that there are questions on the 2014 tax returns about, did you have health insurance in 2014? And if not, what kind of penalty? For our 2014 taxes, the penalty is 1% of income or $95, whichever is higher. Mm-hmm. There are a number of exemptions. If you had a hardship, if you have a religious objection to having health insurance. But we're going to be thinking about this at tax time.
I have to take a break. We'll do that now and come back with Professor Sidney Watson of St. Louis University. We're talking about the Affordable Care Act, which many people call Obamacare. If you have questions about this, we would love to hear from you. It's open enrollment time. You have until February 15th to enroll for the next year. We'll talk about what you need to know about all of that in just a moment. Give us a call at 382-8255. That's 382-TALK. You can send us an email to talk@stlpublicradio.org. We'll take a tweet at STL on air. Back with Sidney Watson in just a moment. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Hello again and welcome back. We'll be continuing our conversation with Professor Sidney Watson of St. Louis University on the Affordable Care Act in just a moment. But these are some of the stories our St. Louis Public Radio newsroom is following today. Elected officials in St. Louis will soon consider a proposal to create a civilian police oversight board. With a renewed focus on law enforcement use of force after the Michael Brown shooting and two other police killings in St. Louis, Mayor Francis Slay today announced a compromise with Alderman Terry Kennedy, the bill's sponsor. Illinois has started mailing out 53,000 flyers with information on where people can get free help signing up for insurance under the new federal health care law. Officials will monitor phone and website traffic from the targeted areas in rural parts of the state to see if the pilot project works. And the St. Louis Sports Commission will announce this afternoon what it's calling a major Olympic sporting event that will be held in St. Louis. The announcement is taking place at Chaffetz Arena on the campus of St. Louis University, which will be likely the site of the sporting event being announced. You can learn more about these and other stories this afternoon on St. Louis Public Radio and throughout the day at stlpublicradio.org. I'll go to the phones in right a minute, but the elephant in the room, Sidney Watson, is, of course, the Supreme Court. It now has before it an issue that could, as I'm told and as I understand it, could gut the Affordable Care Act. Your thoughts on that?
Well, I don't think it'll gut the Affordable Care Act. The case is called King versus Burwell, and it challenges the ability of the marketplace here in Missouri and other states that use a federal marketplace to be able to supply people with discounts. These are federal premium tax credits that bring down the cost of health insurance in the marketplace for people who earn between 100 and 400% of poverty. That's families earning up to about $95,000 a year for a family of four. It keys into about five words in the Affordable Care Act, which say that these premium tax credits will be paid by state exchanges. And the argument is that Congress did not mean to include the federal exchange. Some of the congressional staffers who worked on drafting the Affordable Care Act have said no, the intent was that the federal marketplace be able to pay these premium tax credits. Some of the Congress people who were involved in drafting the law has said the same thing. We'll wait to see what happens.
It's built on a mistake. It's simply an oversight in drafting the language, was it not?
Well, you know, there is a lot of sloppy grammar in the Affordable Care Act because normally every bill goes to a conference committee, and part of the conference committee process is doing that line editing, the polishing on the grammar, and that just didn't happen with the Affordable Care Act. So a lot of these grammar issues have been worked out through administrative rules, and actually the Internal Revenue Service has issued a rule saying that when you look at the entirety of the Affordable Care Act, the intent was to allow the federal exchanges to pay premium tax credits.
So if the challenge is upheld, what happens?
Well, certainly Congress can amend the Affordable Care Act and clarify the law. I mean, I think
Sidney.
Yes, I see you rolling your eyes at me. Mm-hmm. But that is going to be a real test because the rest of the Affordable Care Act does stay in place. The new rules on how premiums are priced, rules that insurance companies can't turn people away, the marketplace continues. And the question of taking these discounts away from over 100,000 Missourians, from millions of Americans nationally, I think we will put Congress to the test.
That would really be putting toothpaste back into the tube, would it not?
It would be.
Really. Let's take a couple of calls. We'll start with Richard, who's been waiting longest. He's calling from St. Louis. Go ahead, Richard.
Thank you. Professor Watson, for a person who is 67 and just covered by Medicare, does that person have the option to buy supplemental insurance not covered by Medicare, such as vision, dental, or some special need?
There are Medigap policies available. They are not sold through the marketplace, though. The marketplace is specifically for people who are under 65, not eligible for Medicare. But there are those Medigap policies available. They're just sold in a different location.
So that's not the normal ACA registration. You have to go to a different state program, a state of Missouri program?
Well, there is a state of Missouri program called Claim that helps people sign up for those plans. There are many insurance brokers who also help with that. We are ending the enrollment period for Medicare, so I would encourage you to call someone today.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling, Richard. By the way, we had a caller who didn't stay. Asking where are we going to find these navigators that you're so high on?
Well, I brought you some phone numbers and some websites to put up on your website. You can call 1-800-318-2596 to find someone near you. You can also go to the Cover Missouri website, which has a listing of people near you. But I'll tell you, all of our federally qualified health clinics, many of our hospitals, many of our social service agencies, they are all over. If you are an artist, on December 9, volunteer lawyers and accountants for the Arts are having outreach at Blank Space on Cherokee Street. There'll be navigators there, as well as some of my law students to provide information.
We'll put that information. That's a lot for people to absorb and memorize over the radio. We'll put that on our website at stlpublicradio.org. Useful information, obviously. Scott in Chesterfield, thank you for waiting. You're on the air with Sidney Watson.
Yeah, the Consumer Price Index says that healthcare inflation was only 0.2% in October, so it's still subdued. So I would recommend that the Supreme Court not cut off subsidies to millions of middle-class Americans. I would say that would be a big mistake.
And I would agree with you. It's going to be an interesting test for the Supreme Court because we do have some members of the court who believe in being textualists, only reading the few words in front of them. They may not be willing to put this language into the context of the entire act, but we'll see what happens. You've also made an interesting point in that we've seen health insurance premiums moderate. We've also seen healthcare costs moderate. We're seeing the lowest increases we've seen in many decades. Some of that may be the economy. It's probably also some of the changes in the Affordable Care Act, where we're seeing lower Medicare payments, lower Medicare readmissions, new accountable care organizations coming online.
Sidney, would you say that, therefore, the Affordable Care Act is doing what it was intended to do?
Absolutely. It's actually, given the bumps in the road we saw last year with the healthcare.gov website, everything else seems to be working extraordinarily well.
Well, one thing that I did notice, apparently the figures for enrollment for the first period were somewhat inflated. As I understand it, they were counting people who signed up for dental coverage as full enrollees, and that, in fact, really skewed the numbers. So that sounds like yet another glitch. Have you heard that?
Yeah, the original number we saw was over 7 million had enrolled, but there was this double counting. They were counting people who signed up both for health insurance and dental insurance twice. It looks like the more accurate number is 6.7 million. That's still a lot of people. We're also seeing that the rate of uninsurance has dropped by about 4%. So that's another good success marker. No, we didn't sign up quite as many people as we thought last year, but we signed up a lot of people.
And the bad start. The bad start.
And a bad start. Certainly a very bad start.
But, you know, by my count, the figure we were using prior to all of this was 40 million people who are uninsured. It seems to me if we do the arithmetic, there are 33 million who still need coverage.
There are. And last year, 80% of people who were eligible for these new discounts on the marketplace didn't know about them. Mm-hmm. This year, we're told it's about 60% of people who can get that kind of help don't know about it yet. That's why I'm so happy to be here today and really appreciate what the station has done to try to get the word out. It's really important to share this information.
Yeah, obviously, it is. And we're grateful that you, with your immense expertise in this area, are so agreeable about being with us. One of the things that I've learned, we've done a number of programs, but I'm just starting now to hear about dental coverage. I had no idea that dental coverage was a part of this.
Dental coverage, you can buy. Some of the plans cover dental coverage. In other cases, you can buy a separate plan with dental coverage. And that's all up and available on the website, and you can talk to navigators about it.
I have an email, Facebook comment that came in this morning from a gentleman by the name of Bob Nelson. He said, I would like a legal opinion. Sydney is an attorney. Does the aspect of the ACA that indicates insurance cannot deny coverage for pre-existing conditions include dental insurance?
Yes, it does, although I happen to know that I think Bob has Medicare. So there may be some different things going on when you go shopping for your Medicare gap insurance.
All right, Bob. I'm sure that answers your question. Let's see. A tweet from David. Can Professor Watson comment on the lack of a deadline for Missouri Medicaid to process applications?
Well, there is a deadline for Missouri Medicaid to process applications. The problem is they aren't meeting that deadline. We've had some real problems here in Missouri. We've actually seen the number of people on Medicaid here in Missouri drop. We're the only state that has happened in the last year. And it's a combination of factors. One is that we had a new computer system come online January 1, 2014, and it has had a lot of bugs. Some of those bugs have been fixed. The second problem we've had is that the Department of Family Services, which processes these applications, completely reorganized its offices effective January 2014. So we've had problems with, you know, new office configurations, people having new job descriptions. In some ways, it's been a perfect storm of a problem.
What does that mean for the people who are in limbo then?
It's bad. It has been very tough on, we've seen pregnant women not being able to get their Medicaid coverage, children in our children's health insurance program waiting months for coverage, people with serious mental illness and disabling physical conditions waiting and waiting. You know, I will say that the governor's office seems to be hearing the concerns. They have tasked people to work on this. They are meeting regularly with advocates from the community, but it's a problem that needs to be fixed. I would say if you have a Medicaid application pending, please call Legal Services. That's Legal Services of Eastern Missouri or other advocates to help you with the problem.
Do we have any idea how many people could be affected by this?
It's hundreds of thousands.
Hundreds of thousands of people. I have an email from Jim here. Note that while there are now more companies and plans available in the St. Louis area, you have to be careful that the plan you select has a good range of hospitals. Some of the new plans, such as the Coventry HPN network and UHC network, are more limited.
Yes. This is another reason that I encourage people to talk to a navigator. Some of the plans have all the hospitals in them. Some of them only have some hospitals. You want to make sure your doctor's in the plan. So really take some time to look and get some of this free advice.
Back to the Supreme Court now. I have yet another email here. This is somewhat lengthy, but I think makes some good points. If the Supreme Court rules that the federal exchanges do not allow subsidies to be applied to a person buying insurance, what effect do you expect do you expect to happen in 2015? Do you think it's possible, likely, that the consumer will have to pay the full amount for the insurance they already signed up for, thus losing any cost benefit provided by the subsidies? Or will it be more likely to only affect exchange insurance purchases starting in 2016?
Great question. Yeah. For people who have gotten tax credits, they're fine. For people who are signing up now, they will be fine. It's just what happens after the date of the Supreme Court decision. So it's not a reason to wait to shop now. Take advantage of the premium tax credits because they are out there now and available now.
There was an addendum here. Is it possible that the change could be applied retroactively, affecting people who bought insurance through the exchange for 2014 as well?
No.
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 Sydney, I'm sure you get a lot of questions through your work and the amount of public appearances you do talking about this. What is it that people seem most concerned about to you? What are the questions that you're hearing the most that perhaps we haven't discussed here this afternoon?
You know, we hear a lot about the Medicaid expansion and the Medicaid gap. This problem of we have now figured out through the marketplace a way to make affordable health insurance available for a family earning $50,000 a year, but we've left the poorest Missourians behind. That person working at Jimmy John's earning $10,000 a year. They need that Medicaid expansion. So that's the big problem and the big concern.
I wonder who people fall in this category, how confident they are in getting into the system through the existing mechanism, be it internet or online or through the navigators. It would seem that that might be a problem for people in this category.
We talk to a lot of people who have used the navigators. Mm-hmm. Again, it's fun to play around on the web and healthcare.gov, and it's pretty easy to do now if you like to do that. But I would encourage anyone who's shopping in the marketplace to also talk to a navigator. We are very lucky here in Missouri to have the Cover Missouri Coalition. We have more navigators and assisters than most states do because of generous funding from the Missouri Foundation for Health. So there's lots of help. It's all free. It's easily available. Talk to one of those folks.
That's a key question. It doesn't cost anything. We only have a few seconds left. Your very best advice that you want to give to our listeners today about this process.
If you don't have insurance, think about getting it. It gives you access to medical care and financial peace of mind. If you don't have insurance, get in touch with a navigator. The numbers are on St. Louis Public Radio's website. Make an appointment. It's a wonderful investment of 1 hour of your time.
That's all it takes?
That's all it takes.
Sydney Watson, thank you so much for being with us. Pleasure to see you again. Again, we're so appreciative of your giving us your time and your expertise. Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll ask you to join Steve Potter tomorrow for Cityscape, and he'll talk about Hot City Theater's final production and the new music platform called Ghost Tunes, which was started by country singer Garth Brooks as an alternative to iTunes to give more control to artists. Monday on St. Louis on the Air, we'll talk with former DEA agent and St. Louis resident Ed Follis about his new book, The Dark Art. Follis was involved in the agency's undercover operations and biggest arrests for nearly three decades. Archive versions of past St. Louis On the Air programs available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org. St. Louis On the Air is produced by Mary Edwards and Alex Hoyer with Erica Smith, production assistants from Aaron Dorr and Spencer Reed. The executive producer is Robert Peterson. St. Louis On the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Thanks so much for listening. I'm Don Marsh.